are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at Lighthouse Chapel International Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
With your people singing praises, I'd love to stand and rejoice.
Today, we're going to start a new series of messages that I believe that God will use to bless you. Tell somebody, God will bless you. You remember the last time we spoke about eating bread in the kingdom? Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. The Bible says, hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. Give me New King James. Huh? New King James says that, what a blessing. It says, a blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Tell somebody, you are eating bread in the kingdom. Kingdom bread is the word. Yeah. So when Jesus Christ tried to tell, or Satan tried to tell Jesus Christ that convert the bread into stones because he was hungry, his response was that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. That means that there's something better than the bread that you know of. Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. All right? And so he said, I'm the bread of life. And we know Jesus Christ is the word. I'm the bread of life. So the bread of life is the Christ, is the word. And today you will enjoy the bread of life. Put your hands together for Jesus. Well, we're going to start on a series of messages that will emanate from this book, Formula for Humility. Somebody say humility. The way up. Humility is the way up. Now, the real thing that... So when we talk about formula for humility, it is talking about, you know, there are certain principles that when you apply, they work. When formula, you apply any variable inside, it works the same way. So when you have a formula, it means that if you can apply yourself to it, apply, you may be the variable. Everybody is different. But once you fit into the formula, you arrive at the same destination. Different people with different variables enter in, but the same principles apply to them. So the word formula is actually a very, very good term that equalizes, as it were, anybody that fits in. It doesn't apply differently to other. You come in with a different size, but the end result is actually proportional. So when we say 7x equals y, yeah, when you put x is 2, y will be 7 times 2, 14. When you put x is 4, y will be 7 times 4. Then that's what, 28. But it's a variable that you put in, but the factor that it is multiplied by is the same thing. Well, humility has certain principles that will allow you. First of all, let me introduce you a little bit, introduction to what we are talking about. The Bible says in James chapter 4, from verse 5, I'm going to read. James chapter 4, from verse 5 to 10. James chapter 4. Bible says, or do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. God, he gives more grace. God's plan is to give you grace. Grace means undeserved favor. It means something that will give you supernatural help. Unexplainable. Yeah. I want grace. One of the greatest things in life, Bible calls something the grace of life. If God gives you the grace of life, life unfolds as though there is a supernatural force propelling you with a certain strength that others don't seem to have. So when we say the grace of God is with you, say, for example, people call it favor. When you go for an interview and or we finish school and you got more grades than I did, but in spite of the fact that your grades were better or you probably were in the top class, I perhaps get a job faster than you, and I get a better pay, get a better salary than you, then you wonder, what is it? I mean, what did he do? What is it that's making him better? Because I started off better than him. There's something called grace. That is an unequal equalizer. Tell somebody, says unequal equalizer. Grace and favor has never been fair. Yeah, never been fair. That is why somebody like Jacob, as a trickster supplanter, will acquire the blessings when Esau is the firstborn. And God says, have I done anything? Is there anything wrong? He decides to do. He says, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Okay? That is in the book of Exodus chapter 33. The last verse, he said, I will be gracious to him, I'll be gracious. So God's grace is something that is not an equalizer. Yeah, that is what makes you different in spite of the fact that you didn't start off well. So one of the things that draws a lot of grace is humility. Yeah, you want to draw grace that makes, although you are unequal, you become as if you are equal. Yeah, I mean, I don't qualify. Like somebody like Joseph, a foreigner, immigrant, who has been a slave and suddenly become the vice president and the strongest person in the whole land. That cannot be normal. Which school did he go to? It cannot be. That is making him equal in a world that is full of unequals. Yeah. Making him qualify when he actually does not qualify. That's called grace. Undeserved favor. Unearned profit. But you still get it. So grace is one of those. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You are about to receive grace because you're humble, in Jesus' name. He gives grace to the humble. And then he goes on from verse 7 to say, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Can you imagine? I mean, it takes some humility to say, it doesn't matter. Let them do it to me. It's okay. He's making me cry. No problem. No problem. Weep. No problem. Be afflicted. Mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Nobody allows himself to be treated that way except you expect something great. That you are laughing and somebody makes you mourn and you still say, it's okay, no problem. It takes a certain, you must be aware of something better than laughter. You must be aware of something better than joy for heaviness, that you're accepting. Okay, no problem. I'm going to be afflicted, but I'm accepting it. And that is the thing that I'm introducing you to, because in life, you will meet heaviness that replaces your joy. In life, you will meet places that you will need to allow some affliction, allow some mourning, allow your laughter to be turned into mourning. Not that you're a fool, but you understand what it draws. And the Bible says in verse 10, which is where the money is, as Pastor Daniel will say it, says, humble yourselves in the sight of that person. No. In the sight of that boss. No. In the sight of the Lord, and your boss shall lift you up. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he, the Lord, shall lift you up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Humble yourself and he shall lift you up. Ladies and gentlemen, any form of lifting, there is no one person that can lift himself up. Yeah. If you could, you should have done it when you were born. Remember that. The way you came into the world how you were, it doesn't really change. It's God that makes you grow up. You could not lift yourself. Somebody had to lift you up. How many of you, when you were born, you lifted yourself up to the breast for your first breast milk? You had to be lifted up, helped to the breast. That does not change. You just grow certain muscles. I'm telling you, that essentially does not change. At every stage of life, you will need to be lifted up like a child. Yeah, only that the target of the lifting changes. Yeah. When you are a baby, you are lifted up because you need breast milk and you are put on the breast. As you grow and then you have to go to school, you need to be lifted up, given a lift to school because you can't drive. Yeah. And we get into the classroom, you need a lift to even read because you can't read. Somebody has to lift you from the non-reading to the reading version. You need help. When you come and you grow up, somebody has to even say, you need help. Somebody has to point to you. You want to get married. Somebody has to accept that, I'll marry you. I'll marry you. Yeah. You can't just put a ring on your finger and they say, I'm married. Somebody has to put that ring on your finger. That is help right there. That's lifting up. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That thing does not change. Yeah. You will need help every stage of your life. Even when you die, you will need help to be buried. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You die and don't have any relationships, you will rot in the same place. You need help. You need help. Everyone needs somebody. Everyone needs something. Everyone needs help. That's why God, in his wisdom, has created something called grace. Undeserved favor. Supernatural help. Unseen hand of God at work in your life. For those who care to understand that you need, even Trump needs help. Yeah. Even our president needs help. I need help. Oh, how great when the help comes from the one who needs no help from any of us. The helper of helpers. The King of kings. The Lord and Master of all. That is when it is called grace. Yeah, it's called grace. So ladies and gentlemen, people who are proud, the Bible says, humble yourself, it will lift you up. Okay? People who are proud, they don't get that kind of help. Yeah. If a child, when it's born and it's lying down, and decides, no, nobody should pick me up if they could speak, they will lie there in the labor ward until they starve to death. That's called a proud baby. But there are no proud babies. So today I'm going to be sharing with you how... No, I'm serious. I'm coming to something. Because the subject of today's... The formula for today is how... How to become humble like a child. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. The child's formula for humility. Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, all proud baby. I've never heard that before. There is no proud baby. All babies, they poo-poo. You have to clean them. They smell the place. They have no pride. They can poo-poo here. They can flush here. They can pass guards. I mean, they are cool, man. Easy. Tell somebody, easy life. Is it like, because there's no pride. He that is down need fear no fall. Give me food. I don't have food. I don't have a way of buying it. And then they will surely get it. And babies are the people that get the most help ever. You will be one person who will always get help in Jesus' name. Because of humility. That formula will get you help. Amen. Amen. I am telling you something that you must try to understand. A baby. Give me a baby if there's a baby here. Look, they eat free. their people free, their house free, they have no mortgage, yet they are the richest. Babies, you count, you, how many times do you get a gift? Once in a Christmas moon or something. Babies get gifts. Even before they are born, we all gather together and give them gifts. Humble, because that's the grace of a baby. That's the grace of a child. We all gather for baby shower. We don't know the baby. Sometimes we don't even know whether male or female. You ask. Immediately they say female, you go for pink. Male, you go for blue. They can even tell you what type of things to buy for them. That is supernatural help. You are about to receive supernatural help in Jesus' name. And I tell you, it's only because of their humility. Yeah. Humility. Even they don't need to go to the groceries. You want to eat. No, we do not need to cook. Your food is cooked and ready. Come for it on the breast. Immediate response. And it's the best. Breast milk has everything. Ladies and gentlemen, humility is a great blessing. So before I come to this baby humility syndrome or formula, let me tell you a few things about humility that will shock you. Why should you humble yourself? Why should you make yourself like a baby? Because humble yourself because God resists proud people. Because God resists proud people. Did you know that? James 4, 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Wow. God resists the proud. Now, when the person that is opposing you is God, you are finished. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you want to, you know how to pick up fights, don't pick up a fight with God. Yeah. Even if you are a television anchor and you know how to pick up quarrels, don't pick up a quarrel with Trump. He will hit back and strong. Even if it's indecent, he will hit back. Oh, no, it's the truth. There are certain people you don't pick up fights with. God resists the proud. So when you are proud, Reverend Ekam, may you never be proud in Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. When God is resisting you, you are trying to build a house. And God is resisting it. How can you build a house? You are trying to marry and God is against you. How can you? Can you fight God? If you fight too much, he will take your breath from you. So could it be you will never be resisted by God? Could it be that sometimes when you are actually proud and things are not working and you go and you pray, I bind the devil. You are binding God. Because the real person who is resisting you is God, not the devil. So you are off target completely. Lord, I bind every work of Satan that is preventing me from marrying, that is preventing me from getting a job in the name of Jesus. All you need to do is be humble. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and you will attract grace. You will attract grace. You will attract grace. Otherwise, all your prayer, some of the things we should stop praying and just be humble. Yeah. For certain marriages, the reason why it's going on the rocks is because of pride. Not because of a demon. Only by pride. Only by pride. For some of us, we lose jobs. Not because a demon. Every job that I go, I lose the job. You shouldn't be crying. You should be asking God, make me humble. Make me humble. And you should be humbling yourself. Yeah, that resistance, it follows you everywhere. Because Bible says the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. And you're fighting him, everywhere you'll be resisted. It shall not be your story in Jesus' name. So you have to be humble because God resists the proud. Number two. Humble yourself because God gives grace to humble people. Yeah. God gives grace. How nice it will be to have undeserved help just because I'm humble. Just because I'm humble. Many people who say I'm very humble, they are the proudest of people. Oh, yeah. No, I'm serious. Anybody who tells you I'm very humble is a very proud person. Do you know why? Even for you to say that I'm humble, you are comparing yourself, I'm better than them. You are like the guy who spoke, went and was praying and said, Lord, I'm not like these people. I pay my tithes. I pray 3 times. I fast twice a week. I give my offering. I don't extort from people like this guy. Like this guy. Yeah. That's this guy. Yeah. You see, it takes a certain pride to look at yourself and say, I'm good. I'm very humble. That straight away is pride. Straight away is pride. But when that guy was saying, I fast twice a day, there was a guy who was standing there, and then he could not even look up. But he beat his chest and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Bible says he went home justified. God liked that guy, the sinner, more than that self-righteous, proud Christian of a Pharisee. May we all be humble in Jesus' name. He gives grace. So he answered the prayer of the humble. And the proud went away and answered. Yeah. God will give you grace. Hallelujah. He gives grace to the humble. Number 3, humble yourself because through that you'll be lifted up to the next level of your life. James 4:10 again. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes humility to be lifted up. Anybody who accepts to be lifted up, you accept that you will humble yourself first. I will say it again. Anybody who qualifies to be lifted up is saying, I accept that I can't do it. It's promotion. Everywhere. One of the things that... First things that my children learned to say as a sentence, carry me, carry me, carry me, mommy. But since they grew up, I've not heard it. In fact, now they want to carry me. Yeah, these boys, that's what they do. These days, to show their strength, they come to me and they've carried me, they've carried my wife. Can you imagine? It's so disrespectful. What they are saying is that we are not children anymore. Take your carrying. But once you are carried, you move from your height. This to another height is added to you. You are upgraded. You are next to receive your promotion when you become humble. Even look at all job places. The people that receive promotion are the people that are humble. Two known proud people, they get fired. You get fired for them from their jobs. All the time. You, the day you got fired, you remember? Your mouth. You were running your mouth, man. You were running your mouth. You were trying to lead the boss. You remember that day that you got, where's Pastor Daniel? Look. That day you got fired. You were running your mouth. Yeah. There's a scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4. He says that when the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, because yielding or being humble will pacify the greatest of offenses. Yeah. Yeah. You know, recently my wife did something that was very funny. You know, we have a microwave. See, I heard a few things about microwaves. Microwaves are not good. Reduce the use as much as possible. They develop cancers. There are radiations that when they operate on the food and you take it in, there are some radiations you take in. They are minimal, but they add up. So reduce the use of it as much as possible, okay? Because a lot of cancers are on the rise. Some of these radiations from cell phones, from microwave, they are all part of it. They are useful, but they have side effects. So be careful. Anyway, for that reason, we have reduced the use of microwave in my house. I don't remember the last time I really used one. Now, for that reason, we were so low in the use of it that the biggest microwave was stuck in one of them was the custom fit. When it got spoiled, we have not replaced it. I have not, intentionally. My wife has put a cross or some sign on it to let everybody know that it's not working in case we are not there. But it's been such a while. When it happened, she was about to travel, and when she came back, I still have not brought it up. So just about a week ago, she brought it up. That, oh, but this microwave, when are we going to replace it? I said, oh, we will not replace it. The first thing she said was, my son has a little microwave that's used for college. He brought it. So that's what, when we need microwave, we use it. We use it occasionally. So then, because I said, oh, we won't replace it. Then she got mad. Okay, then we should even, this even small micro, let him take it. We don't want to see any microwave here. Let it go. Okay, you say because of this problem, we won't use microwave. Okay, fine, we'll replace this. This one to let it go. And I smiled. And you know what I did? I said, son, come and take it away. Let it go truly. Then her face changed. She didn't mean it. Of course she didn't mean it. But you mean it, me too, I'm a master of these games. I said, I'm master of these games, you know. I played this game for more than 20 years, guys. I've been doing this for some 20 years. So I know what things mean. I said, okay. No problem. Son, come and leave the microwave. Away one, away two, away three, away four. And it's going. So because I won't replace, you say this should go. No problem. No replacement, and this too goes. No, I didn't mean that. Okay, so then say it properly. Then say it properly. I said, sister, do not threaten me. These things don't move me, man. No, they don't move me. I don't know. Because you're threatened. Okay, let's go out there and say, okay, I'll buy it. No. Okay, you want it, let it go. Then suddenly she said, okay, I've changed my mind. That's what did you say?
I've changed my mind.
People who can't change their minds are proud. Proud, proud. 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 Humble people can learn to change their minds. I said, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to see this thing. Then you get help. Immediately she changed. My mind changed. A new one is on the way. Yay! Clap for the Lord Jesus. Wow. Tell somebody, I've changed my mind. Children are one of the people that change their minds the most. They've changed their minds. Yeah, I like red. Oh, no, okay. The red's not, I like green. They're able to change their minds. Yeah. You're angry and you realize you're about to be fired. Straighten your face. You're about to lose your job. Straighten your face. You're about to lose your marriage. Straighten your... Be a child. Be like a child. Otherwise, you never get promoted. Otherwise, you never... Some people have... Every relationship never leads to marriage. Because small anger, you're off. Small anger. You can't change your mind. Let me forgive him. Let me let go. You can't change your mind. That's why you are the way you are. But you're about to change in Jesus' name. Amen. When they are at the workplace, they tell you, no, you're moving you from this station to another. No. From this schedule to another. No. You can't be changed. You can't be upgraded. It takes a certain bigger authority to move you from one level to another. It takes a mother to help a child, a father to help a child, a boss to help a subordinate, a pastor to help the sheep. It takes the person. It takes an authority. It takes God to lift you off one level to another. The proud, he resists, but he grants grace to the and he lifts up the grace. They lift up the humble to another level. You are about to be lifted up in Jesus' name. Number four, humble yourself so that you will be covered and protected. Covered and protected. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older or elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. This is the second time God is mentioning it. Yeah. See, Humility is also a covering. Clothe yourself with humility. It's a protection. Humility is a spiritual covering. Humility is not just an attitude. It's not just a behavior pattern. In the realm of the spirit, it covers you from attacks. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? It's not just a poor way of living. Humility is not just the art of looking timid and defeated. It's not just, it's not a vision. It's not a look. It's an internal disposition, even a decision. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself. You can decide to be humble. Yeah, when you are proud, it's because you've decided to be proud. Yeah. Proud people can change, but they refuse to change. It's part of the pride. Stubbornness is part of the pride. Stubbornness is a major... I can show you signs of pride. Stubbornness is one of them. Inability to change mind is another. There's even proud look, proud talk. There are all kinds of things we can use to diagnose pride. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to, you see, in the final quest, there's a book, you know, of prophecies. The final quest, the Lord showed Rejoinder. There was a guy who was under attack. And wisdom, you know, Jesus was called wisdom in that vision. And then Jesus gave him a cloak, and that cloak is called humility. You see that? But any time that he put on the cloak, he looked small. And so at certain times, when he would see something, he would just take it off. Anytime he takes off, he's under attack. Anytime he puts the cloak on, small as he may look, he was covered, protected. Some of us, the attacks that we attract is because of our pride. Because God is resisting us. Oh, Satan will have a free day. The God who's our protection is already fighting. Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? I want to turn it also in this regard. If God is against you, who can fight for you? Who can fight for you? So you have lost your cloak of protection. Bible says, cloak yourself with humility. Anytime that you see pride coming, see nakedness coming, see shame coming, see defeat coming, see protection, you are subject to the elements. Mercy. The next thing, humble yourself because your pride is the signal for your soon to come destruction, your fall, and your shame. I'll say it again. Humble yourself because your pride is the signal for your soon to come destruction, fall, and your shame. Can I read something for you? Okay. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride defeats. Pride people lose jobs. Proud people lose marriages. Proud people, even sometimes you are writing exam, you know, you're so proud. Some people, oh, why should I write to the very end? Everybody will feel that I want to write quickly and go. Pride, you just get bad grades. Miss questions, all these things. So pride will cause you to fall. Another scripture, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a proud or haughty spirit before a fall. Yeah, before a fall. Nobody can talk to me. Nobody. You're about to fall. You're about to be destroyed. You're about to be destroyed. Your job is about to be destroyed. Even your health is about. Pride destroys your health. That one is a proven thing. Proud people have a higher heart rate, higher blood pressure, a higher incidence of strokes. Because proud people, their blood pressures are high. Yeah, heart rate is higher. Your heart works much more. Somebody who's humble, babies, when they are there, look, they're cool. When they come out of the womb, they have the highest blood pressure. Guess what? The highest heart rate. Guess what? Immediately they are born, it starts coming down. they start with 160 beats per minute. If you have that heart rate, you die. But immediately they are born, start coming down. Start dropping, until it gets to between 60 and 80. And it stabilizes there. Yeah. And when you start getting proud, it goes up. You get agitated, it goes up. You get angry, it goes up. You get irritated, it goes up. It's all pride. Only by pride comes contention. Anything that you do that makes your heart rate go up, maybe except a few, but it's not a good thing. Yeah. It leads to distraction. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame. Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. See, like my wife, I told you, when pride came, shame. Now she doesn't have microwave. She wouldn't have a microwave. But she became lowly and the microwave is coming. Pride. Shame. I mean, you're proud. Somebody said, I'm out of here. I'm out of this marriage. I'm out of this job. And then, like I told you, you just walk up out of pride quickly, only to realize you left your car keys. Meanwhile, you've thrown the ID in front of their face. You've thrown, you picked up your bag. You slammed the door. Meanwhile, you left your cell phone and your car key. Now you're standing behind the door. How do you get back in? Who do you call? Do you stay there? Then you start doing the walk of shame. Even when you get inside, somebody happens to be coming and opens your face. Calm down. Tell somebody, calm down. Tell somebody, calm down. Calm down. Pride is a signal. It signals coming for catastrophe, coming evil. Anytime you get proud, don't expect good things. And I'm going to explain to you, because the king, the one who produces it, is not God. And I'm going to show you in the next thing. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, because pride is essentially satanic and demonic. Do you know why? Because the first person who was proud was the devil. Before creation, the devil had been cast down. And there was a worship leader and all everything. And there was no worship, and therefore God had to create mankind. His plan to create mankind even was part of the reason why he fell. You see that? Out of pride. He said, I will arise. I will be like the Most High. I will sit on the sides of the north. I will be as high as he. I'll be one of the stars. I will arise. Prematurely, I want to be greater than God. That was pride at birth. Now, listen to this scripture. Job chapter 41, verse 1 and verse 34. Says, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Leviathan is the name of the devil. Yeah. The devil has many names. Devil, Diabolos, the serpent, the evil one, the adversary, all kinds of things. One of them is Leviathan. Can you draw? You go and look. Leviathan, can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or his tongue with a cord? That means that you are going out to trap something. What you trap is the devil. How can you be doing that? With a cord which thou lettest down, can you put a hook into his nose? You can't keep the devil. You can't keep harboring something in your nose. You harbor pride, you're harboring the devil. Now, Bible says in verse 34, he beholds all high things. He's a king over all the children of pride. Anytime you take on pride, you've been adopted and your father is changed. That's why God resists the proud. Because God resists evil and the devil. So anytime you take on pride, you have taken on sonship of the devil. You have signed for adoption by the devil. He's the king. He's the one who is in charge, who rules. When you're too proud to say sorry, bad things happen because the person operating is that old serpent that deceives the whole world. Usually when you feel proud, you feel good. So bad has the world changed the meaning of pride that even pride is used for good things. The pride of Africa. Yeah, Ethiopia, the pride of Africa.
Kenya.
Oh, is it Kenya? Oh, no, it's Kenya. It's Kenya. Yeah. You see that? Yeah. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is a devilish thing. And once, I think there's a version that's even nicer. Give me New Living Translation. Give me New Living Translation. Quick, please. New Living Translation. Of all the creatures, no, not this one. Give me maybe Amplified or Message. But it's amazing what it says. What's this? Huh? Crocodiles and things. That's not the one. But what it says is that he's the king of all. Over all children of pride. He's the king. Do you want to be ruled by the devil? Everyone, he says he beholds every high thing. He is keen over all the children of pride, the Vietan. Yeah. Whenever you see pride, you know who is in charge, who is ruling, who is keen over there, who is the one giving the instructions, who is the one who is boss in that situation of pride, is the devil. And the boss, he's called the ruler of the darkness of this world. He will rule and his decisions. President Trump can sign executive orders and they will be implemented. A king has that authority. May you not give the devil kingship through pride, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Satan fell out of heaven through presumption. Pride is, sometimes there's even nothing to be proud about, but people just get proud. And finally, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord because your pride will make you an abomination to the Lord. Is it in the Bible? Let me read it. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is of a proud heart or is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join hand, he shall not be unpunished. Yeah. Everyone that has pride in heart is an abomination. Though hand join hand, though you may be proud, but you are holding my hand to go because maybe something is good, you will not go unpunished. You may be holding a hand in the church, but you will not go unpunished. It doesn't matter who you connect to, your pride is going to identify you for destruction. It's an abomination. Though hand join hand. Oh, I'm going to hold this hand to get help. No, it doesn't work like that. Do you know what an abomination is? An abomination. Somebody should look for the definition of abomination and tell us. Yeah. See, now, when we say abomination, you know, like you are an abomination, you're talking about several things. Show me even the Amplified version. It means you are detestable. You are disgusting to God. In fact, the word abomination, God hates. Anything that's an abomination is hated. Disgusting to God. A proud person is an abomination to God. He's disgusting. Bible says in the Amplified, it says, everyone proud and arrogant in heart is disgusting to God, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Be assured, I pledge it that that person will not go unpunished. I'm saying this to save you from pride and to lift us all into humility. That's what it is. God has it's disgusting. Yeah. Revulsion. A sense of loathing. I hate it. I mean, what is the thing that you don't want to come near you at all? That's what you call an abomination. Yeah, it's an abomination. Some of us, when somebody brings in shoes onto your carpet, it's an abomination. You hate it. Yeah. You hate it. That is how it is. Ladies and gentlemen, let us not become an abomination to the Lord because of pride. It's not worth it. Drop that pride. Drop that pride. Let me tell you, it doesn't make you anything. It doesn't make you anything. It just makes you proud, makes you an abomination, makes you to God, makes God resist you. You don't get promoted. I mean, you look funny, you about to fall, bad things about you, attract the devil. Pride. One guy came to this church several weeks ago. After church, he put me inside the room. He talked about only one thing. He said, "Pastor, every pastor must preach about humility." He said, "If it's possible, and I know some, even some ministers of state that can promote a television program on just humility, Christians will be fine." He meant it. He said he's had a dream. He's got a vision. God has put it on his heart that one of the things that are least preached in the churches is humility. And if Christians will be humble, God will arise in their lives. But because of pride, God has left many Christians. It's fighting against, has been forced to fight many Christians. He sat me down. I don't know which of the pastors was with me. I sat down. Pastor Daniel, the guy spoke to me for almost 1 hour. He had a portfolio. He had a whole lot of studies and was telling me a lot of things. Said he wishes he had the funds to go on air. I said, "Brother, let's just keep preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I'm introducing to you the humility of a child, the humility of a baby. Let's try to become children. Bible says when the disciples in Matthew 18 asked, who is the greatest? Jesus Christ drew a little child and put him. Who's a little child here, baby? Francis, come. And put him. Even he's almost two, he's not good, he's not qualified. Because they start saying no. And put there. Ian qualifies. Francis will not. Because Francis will say, but the baby, that cannot do anything. He put, roll the baby here. Don't take out. Just roll the baby here. And then brought and said, look at this little child. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be born again. Amen. We are going. Matthew chapter 18, it says, verily, except you be converted and become as not just a child, as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Pride. It's taking many people out of heaven. Look at this baby. If I put you in this baby chair and I brought you here, the whole time I'm preaching, you're going to be saying, you fight me. You walk away. You won't come back. They've disgraced you in front of church. But look at, she's comfortable. He's comfortable about it. Everybody must be converted and become not just as a child, because they are children. Francis is a child. Don't become just a child. But become a type of child, a little one. There's a difference between a child and a little child. When you are two, you start saying no. Rebellion starts. That's not the kind. That's not a little child anymore. But that baby, if we don't get converted. So from next week, I'm going to start sharing with you how to drop your heart rate. Wow. To survival level. To a level that attracts grace. To a level that defeats resistance of God. The level that takes you out of abomination zone. From there, you will not be hated by God. You will not be loathed by God. Humility is a great virtue. Bible says, Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, one of the fruit of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is at work in you, you will develop meekness or humility. You become like a little child. We are on our way to conversion. You are about to become a little child through the teachings. Till we come this way, your way again next week. This is your usual host, Reverend Orleans Lindsay, signing off. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise to your feet.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Be blessed.